Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Authentic Faith Podcast. I have here L. Miller. Oh, I'm Mariah McLeod. What's up? L. Miller, Seth Daly. We got Anthony Perez in the house. We're talking missions. Get ready. It's going to be a good one. I already know. We're just having a fun time hanging here. All right. So I should introduce each of you actually more specifically. So L. Miller, you're here locally. Are you from Ventura?
Yeah, born and raised.
Okay. Born and raised in Ventura. She founded in 2020 More Than Conquerors, MTC. Is that an organization? What do you,
yeah,
More Than Conquerors?
So we're a nonprofit here in Ventura.
Nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just love on foster kids by the gift of surfing. So that's what we do.
So you guys like to surf? Or you like the water?
Love the water.
You should
can't get out of the water. We're fish.
Connect with L. We'll talk about that more deeply in a second. Seth? Hi.
Hello.
Tell us about yourself. Okay, I should introduce you. You go to Two Trees also. Whoa. You go to Two Trees also. He just has the biggest smile right now. Okay. And let's see what I got in these notes. You lived overseas abroad, I guess, for a few years. So doing a lot of stuff. You were in Mexico for a few years. Then you did short-term missions in Nepal. And where else did you go?
Israel and Bethlehem.
Israel, Bethlehem. And you were a youth pastor, still a youth pastor, but pausing maybe for now, but still pastoring kids. And you do local ministry work. And then we got Anthony. Did you want to add anything?
No, that was it. That was perfect.
We'll go in depth. Anthony, what's up? So, okay, I'm going to mess this up. You were in Sri Lanka.
Got it. Yeah.
I had to write it out. Like how it sounds.
And there's no dash in that.
No dash.
I found out.
No dash. That's a good name for something. No dash. Okay. For 2 years. And then you were in Hawaii doing missions for 5 years.
Yep. Correct.
Shoot. That's a long time. It's a nice place to be, though. If you're going to do missions, do it in Hawaii.
Not bad at all.
And you're all here now. What in the world? Okay. First of all, that's actually a good question. I want to know, how did you get to Ventura? You're from Ventura, L.
Yeah.
But born and raised.
Born and raised Ventura. Been able to travel a lot, but this is definitely home. I love it here so much. And yeah, I kind of branched out a little bit in my high school years to work in missions down in Mexico, just short-term stuff. But just fully fell in love with the kids and the people there. And yeah, I've been trying to go back as much as I can ever since.
Yeah. How did you get to Two Trees?
So that is a wild and crazy story.
This is just kind of a random question I have for you guys.
I came to Two Trees, gosh. Well, I met you. I met Mariah in Mexico at Rancho Sordomundo. And I feel like that was kind of the beginning of the seed being
so
laid.
Okay, real quick, for those that don't know, I talked about it on a former podcast, but episode. But I lived in school for the deaf for 2 years. Near Ensenada called Rancho Sordomudo, and it's like a school for the deaf and mute. Not many mute kids there, but lots of deaf. And you came, Elle came to visit for a short-term mission trip.
Yeah.
And I was there, and you were from Ventura, and so was I. And so it was like,
it was
you
kind
were,
of crazy.
How old were you? You were pretty young too, because I was like
little.
18.
Yeah. I must have been like 17 probably.
Okay.
18, yeah. Yeah, it was right around there. But
that planted a seed.
That planted something. Something there. I feel like that was probably the first inkling. And then just God started putting people in my life from Two Trees. I met John and he was super involved. And then I met Brooke and Casey. And from there, it was just kind of like, all right,
yeah,
God's clearly laying a pathway for me to go to Two Trees. I guess I better go.
That's right. You came into Sundream when I was working.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should get involved, like you should meet Brad, because you were talking about surfing your organization, your nonprofit. I was like, I think you should get plugged in with Brad. And then you're like, that's weird, Casey just told me the same thing, or something like that.
Totally. Yeah, it was just like total God thing, which is why I always get thrown off by that question, because I'm like, gosh, how did I end up here? The Lord just like fully worked it out.
That's cool. I'm glad you're here.
I'm stoked to be here.
And now you're going, well, I guess we can get more into that, but missions like here locally on the Avenue, you're helping out working for that.
Yeah.
The new organization that we're doing.
Yeah. Super excited.
I don't know much about it, so it's going to be fun.
It's going to be an adventure, and I'm here for it.
Okay, who wants to go next? Seth? How did you get, let's see, how did you get here? How did you and Elise is your wife?
Yeah.
How did you guys get to Ventura?
So
we're going to have to go backwards after this, way backwards, but yeah. I just want to know first.
So to Ventura, we just came here on a word from the Lord, just out of the blue. God spoke it to Elise. And then before Elise told me about it, God told me to listen to her. What she's about to tell me is from him. And then, I mean, at that point, we were convinced already, and then had some, just confirmation that we didn't even need. I think our friends and family needed it more than us to just let go of us there and then come here.
That's cool. I didn't know that. So yeah. God's like, listen up.
Yeah. I didn't even know where Ventura was.
Thank you.
Yeah. California was not where we were planning on going. But we love it. We love California. We love Ventura. We know that God's got us here. And yeah, it's been great.
That's so cool. Ooh. How did you get here, Anthony? You and Meredith.
Yeah, so I grew up in Camarillo for most of my life.
Right.
So I'm a Ventura County boy. And my wife and I were living in Hawaii. And she had gotten pregnant. And we just felt like it was time to make a move to be closer to family. Her family's from South Carolina. Mine's in Camarillo. So it just made sense to make that move.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Come on to Two Trees. We'll take you. We have so much fun.
Yeah. Our Two Trees, we actually, my wife, she found Ryan Ellis. She follows Ryan Ellis on Instagram.
Oh.
And saw he was going to be leading worship at the beach.
Whoa.
And we just decided to come. And
dang, did that happen? Shoot.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, never stopped
That's
not
cool.
coming.
You guys are the best. I just started a writing course with your wife. It is so life-giving every Tuesday night right now, and it's so exciting.
Yeah, anyway. Seen a new side of her that really
she's
really
talented.
Shines.
Okay, that's totally off topic, but so good. I love these people. Oh, this is so fun. Okay, so everyone has passion in the stable for missions. So me too, but it's turned into local and like totally transformed. But this isn't about me. I want to hear who wants to go first. Come on, Anthony, let's go.
Right, yeah.
Let's see. How did you get involved abroad? What did God do in you that was like, I have to do this?
Yeah.
Were you married? Were you single?
Well, it's a funny story. I was actually texting with my mom last night because I had vaguely remembered this story. And she reminded me that when I was younger, we had gone to church. And as usual, they have like some missionaries come in from like, I think they were from Africa. And they spoke on what their like experience was in Africa. And we were driving home and I was just crying in the back seat, like just bawling my eyes out. And it wasn't because I felt like God had put a burden on my heart to go into missions. It was like the opposite. Oh. I was crying because I didn't want to eat grubs in like a third world country. And so I was begging my parents, like, please, like, I don't want to go. I don't want to move. And so my like journey into missions was like very non-conventional because I never had a heart for missions ever.
Wow.
I'm very comfortable, like being comfortable. And some people like to say I'm a picky eater, so I don't like to venture out too much. So
that must have been interesting where you went then.
Yeah, very. Extremely
Whoa.
Interesting. Yeah. So I had been living in Hawaii for a year or two, and part of this organization that I was with, they go abroad. At the time, they're going to Bangladesh on these like month-long mission trips or outreach trips. Bangladesh, Indonesia, North Korea, Sri Lanka. And I just knew that it looked fun. It looked like it was a chance to step out of my comfort zone. And just in one of my quiet times before I had ever gone, I felt like God had said to me, like, I'm going to take you back. But I hadn't even gone once. So it was kind of confusing to me. But I told one of the leaders, hey, I don't know what this is. I feel like God's already told me that he's going to take me back to Sri Lanka. And I haven't even gone yet. I just want to put this on your radar that when I go, I'll know. And as soon as I got to the village, after like 20 plus hours of travel, I just knew that I was going to go back. So.
That's crazy. I like you're like, if I'm going to go on missions, I'm going to go big. I'm going to go big or go home. Like, I'm not just going to go, I don't know. Everything's important, but you like went there.
Yeah.
Whoa. So you went once and then you're like, I need to go back?
Yeah. I went for about a month. Okay. Just fell in love with the community and the kids. And we were in a small fishing village on the east coast of Sri Lanka, just living like out pretty basically in the jungle in a cabana and with no walls. And I just knew. So I spent the next 8 months fundraising and building up like monthly support to be able to go back and be able to.
And you were alone at that point? Were you married?
No, I wasn't married, but there was another family that was out there. So it wasn't like I was just going out on my own, but so whoa. I jumped in and helped out with what we were doing out there.
That's crazy. That's just nuts. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And then when you were there, was it like culture shock? Like, okay, how do I love these people well? Like, how did you transition from Camarillo and then Hawaii to like this?
Yeah, I was living in Camarillo, working in Santa Barbara for an orthopedic surgeon. And I had like accomplished all these goals. When I was 12 years old, I was like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And when I was like 25, I like had accomplished all those goals, and I didn't really have a relationship with God. So I was just kind of living in the world and just very empty and unfulfilling. And my brother, who was living in Hawaii working for that organization, and finally like got me to go out there, and I just went for what was supposed to be a 3-month internship, and it turned into 7.5 years of like full-time like volunteer work. Wow. And missions. And yeah, it was a wild, wild ride for sure.
That's crazy. You had a whole list of things, and you're like, okay, now what?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Now what? And that's nuts.
Yeah, I just had no purpose. I just went out because I just didn't feel like I had anything else to do, anywhere else to turn. And God radically, like, just shook me in within the first week of being there, and just, yeah.
So when you were there, did you find, like, God lit inside of you purpose again? Or, like, did you just, like, stripped away all the shallow or, like, the things you're like, none of this was important actually, like, how?
Yeah, that was
how was that process?
A long
ouch.
Process, yeah. For sure. I really had to be stripped down to nothing and be broken down to be built back up, because I had just, from I don't know, 15 to 27, just living in the world. And so I had to kind of release a lot of things that I've been holding on to, a lot of things that I didn't know I was still holding on to be able to open myself up to receive from him. So in Hawaii, we did a ton of outreach with at-risk youth. I ran the largest food distribution on all of Hawaii for a year and a half.
Wow.
So feeding between 500 and 700 people every Thursday, just down in Kalihi in a area of Honolulu.
Wow. So, yeah. What? Was there a church body you were a part of there?
Yeah, there was. Was like a sister organization of the organization I was with. So, yeah.
Dang. That's crazy. I'm trying to like put it all together now. So you were first went to Sri Lanka and then to Hawaii, back to Hawaii?
Started off in Hawaii.
Okay.
And then ended up going to Sri Lanka. And,
oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And where did you meet Meredith?
In Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to piece that together.
We were part of a leadership school there, and that's where we had met. And that was like 2014, fall 2014.
Wait a second. We connect there. Wait, I think I know this ministry school. I think we talked about this before. What's the name of that? Can you say that name?
Yeah, well, there was it was just a leadership school that was part of the organization that I was with.
Oh, yeah. Can't talk about that. Yeah. Okay, sure. I'm like trying to pull the wrong thing out of you.
No, that's good.
I think I have a friend that was in the same area as you, Lise. Yeah. I think that's
oh,
right.
No, she is.
Yeah.
Kingdom Living.
Okay, Kingdom Living. Kingdom that's Living. The one. You can't.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. She was an intern there when I was there.
Okay.
I got to meet her.
Okay, and cool. She does dance ministry.
Yeah. She's under a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Capra.
Yeah. She tells me all the time about them. They're like thriving right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're doing some wild stuff.
Dang. Like okay, we got to dive deeper into that. Seth.
Hello.
Okay, tell us about your childhood. No, just no, but like, so first, let's see. Let's go back. I've got this written out. So you just, tell us about your family. Seriously, though. Like, how did you get in? Were you in Mexico for a few years? What made you go there?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a good question. God.
Okay.
I'll expound. So I was right out of high school planning on going to school and got scholarships for soccer and was going to go and just had this, I don't know, just a lack of peace for better understanding at the time. I just didn't know. It just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And so kept praying about that and just felt like God was like, that's not for you right now. and then a few other things were on the docket. But after just pressing in for a while, and I remember it was like in the middle of the night at this, it was like 3 a.m. in a prayer room, and I was just like asking the Lord, like, what do I do now? And I just felt like he said, go south. And so got my car.
No way.
Yeah. And there was a lot of backstory too. Like, I had done some short-term missions and really felt called to international missions, and especially the Latin America. And so that was something that was already awakened in me. And so that go south, I already knew, you know, he and I were already conversing about that. And so...
Did you speak Spanish then?
Is I mean, right? I took my junior year and senior year in high school. I was like, Caro and hola. So
voy
I was...
a la playa. Me gusta ir a la playa.
So, you know, I was ready. To go and just preach the gospel to everybody. And just kidding, though. I didn't know any Spanish.
I love so what I happens jump. Out of a prayer room. Prayer rooms light you up and they'll send you out.
Yeah, seriously, though. And so, I had jumped in the car and got down to the border and ended up having to sell my car at the border and then hitched a ride and got landed in this random town in Mexico that the day before I left, a friend of a friend needed a place to crash in Kansas City, and he was from Mexico, and I told him about my trip, and he's like, hey, you got to stay with my family. Like, the route that you're going to take is like, my family's like right on the way. So you're letting me stay at my house. I'm going to let you stay at my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I ended up crashing there with his family. And then just felt like God was like, you're here until I tell you otherwise. And I was planning on doing like a 3-month trip and going all the way through Central America, sharing the gospel with everybody I come in contact with, and then flying back. And it was 3 months, you know, and it was over 2 years. I think it was 2 years, 3 months later, I left. But
what city was that you stayed in?
It's called Linares, Nuevo León. It's in like northern Mexico. Wow. So, so I was there just, so his family, which is so funny because God just sent him into my path the day before I left. And I ended up teaching at his mom's it was a Christian school, so I taught Bible there, and then taught English as well, and volunteered with their family had a church, so I was helping with the church and the youth, and then a street kids ministry.
Wow, so you got like involved.
Oh yeah, I was very like
deeply involved,
like, all day, every day kind of thing, and then ended up living with some Canadian missionaries down there that were starting an orphanage. So I had, you know, it was mostly kids, though. Mm-hmm. Everything I was doing was kid focused on just, you know, yeah.
That. That's crazy. I find, like, when I was in Mexico, I found that I have something to give them. And I went, like, so passionate about, like, I have something to give them, which was true. I had, like, sign language for the deaf, and they didn't know the language. So, yeah, I was giving them, like, their language. But I quickly saw... And I thought, I was like, I'm bringing them the gospel. I got this, like, God has totally transformed my mindset about this all now. But I was like, I'm going to give them the love of God. And it's true. But, like, no, they teach you so much. You get there, and you're like, oh, after a while, he humbles us. And he's like, no, you're going to learn their ways. You're going to let go of your ways. And you're actually going to do as they do. And, like, they're gonna show you love, and you can show them too in their way. But like, it's everything that you think you know gets thrown out the window.
Yeah I totally experienced that too. It was, you know, I was going, like I said, I was just gonna share the gospel with everybody. And then God's like, you don't even know Spanish. Like, let's get your roots there, like, you know, build relationship over time, let them see the fruit from not just your words, because I didn't even know the language. And I'm having these street kids, you know, teach me the language. And then my students were, like, cussing me out in Spanish. And I was like, oh, yeah, they like me, because they were smiling. But I didn't even know what they were saying. And then come to find out. But over time, I built relationship with those kids. And then they started following the Lord. And then, you know, it was over years of being there. And it was a process. But one of the biggest things I learned in that whole process was, you know, when you're going out and you're... You know, essentially, with all of our ideas and our good, our heart for good things, mm-hmm. our humanitarian efforts, really, they don't do much. I mean, there's a lot of good that we can do, but without, it's the love from God, but it's the direct connection with Him, and it's Him leading us, is Him. That's so much more effective when we actually look to Him and say, hey, God, what are you doing here?
That's
how
so
can
good.
I be a part of it? And then diving into that instead of, okay, I see all these needs, let's fulfill all these needs, but maybe those needs aren't what God has for you to do. Maybe those needs are supposed to be met by other people.
That's so
and
good.
And so it was just such an eye-opening experience to get to know God in that missional mindset and say, okay, he really taught me that there anyway.
That's
it's just,
so good.
All right, Seth, this is what I want you to do right here. Yeah. And then it was effective. But when I first started going out there, I was like, I'm going to share the gospel with everybody. I don't even know Spanish. I
yeah,
don't know
totally resonates. I did that same thing. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go help start another school for the deaf. And my leaders were like, in Mexico, they're like, you should probably learn Spanish first. I'm like, I'll learn it there. I'm going to learn it on the streets. And they're like, I'm like, okay, fine. But I had to like humble myself. I remember like also that like I don't know why we do this, but we do. We go down, we have our trucks full of food and supplies and we're gonna give you all this. And we did this all growing up in my youth group. Like we did Mexico trips and we would go paint the school and go donate like quads and like hide them in the back of the truck and smuggle it in through the border. But
are you supposed
food,
to do that?
I don't know. We smuggled it. We prayed over it. God was in it.
Either way, it was fun.
It was fun. We prayed. We had a lot of good times. But it's like so funny how you go and you're like, we have all this for you. You guys are all so poor and like, we have all this for you. And it's like exactly what you were saying. Like there's other ways that God's like, actually I want you to minister to them this way. Not just giving them all these things, but like, do this. Go sit in the nail salon, go sit with the taco people and like have a conversation every day, like simple ways, not just like, here, consume our things, here you go, we have all this for you, that you need this, you're poor. It's like, actually they're not. Like I've also found maybe they are poor from our view, but like they're not, they don't live like they're poor. Everyone's very content and like loves their life. And maybe if you're comparing them to us, they are, but they're not. I mean, they're very happy. Most people that I've met, at least in Oaxaca and other places in Mexico, it's like, we come thinking they need all these things. It's like, you know what? Nope.
No, and they're happy to give too. Like they give way more than I feel like we ever did or were trying to do when we were down there. There was one time I was working in...
Where was this?
This was in Tijuana.
Okay.
And... we were in a really, really poor area. Like, we're talking cardboard boxes as homes and things like that. And it was cool. Like, kids running around, having a good time. And we were just loving on them there. I think we had brought food down and we were hanging out with the kids. And I ended up going down the street a little bit and found this group of women. And I sat down with them and we started talking and prayed a little bit here and there. And I noticed she had this really beautiful necklace on, and I told her in Spanish at the time, honestly my Spanish is terrible now, but I said something to tell her like how beautiful she was and how beautiful the necklace was. And she ended up handing me the necklace.
Yeah.
And I was just so blown away. I didn't know what to say. I had no words, because here I was coming from Ventura and it's beautiful, mm-hmm. and we're very, very privileged here to be able to live the life that we do. And then to stand there and have her give me something to walk away with, I was like, no, like, I'm supposed to be helping you. And here she is. She's like, no, her heart is in the right place, probably a better place than mine was at the time, of like, no, I'm going to bless you with whatever I have, however much I have.
That's so good. I love that.
It was amazing. And yeah, I still have it to this day. And I think I come across it occasionally, and it's such a good reminder, even just being here at home, like it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. There's always ways to give and bless people.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's such a common theme in just like missions, because I know I had like that mindset of I'm going to go out and I'm going to take Jesus to these people. And you get out there and you're like, well, okay, Jesus is already here. Like,
he's already at work.
Yeah, I'm just coming in to like help. Like, I'm not the one who's bringing in that. And like when we go out there, we take all these surf supplies, all these medical supplies, and like we're giving out of our excess. Mm-hmm. And then these people are giving out of all that they have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we walk through these villages to like to go hang out with families. And it could take me an hour to 2 hours to walk through this tiny village because every single person wants to invite you in to like to serve you. So I can't go through the village without having six different cups of milk tea because they just want to spend time with you and they want to love on you. And you get there and they have nothing, and then you see they give, you know, they give one of their kids some money and they run off and bring back some biscuits, and you know that they don't have a lot at all, but they just like their heart is to just to give.
So good.
It comes from a totally different place than I think.
I feel like there are a lot of people, other cultures are so much warmer. Like they're just so community oriented and hospitable. Like we're more like independent, do what I got to do, but we'll hang out, but like I got to do what I got to do. And it's like someone comes over and knocks on my door, I'm like, I'm not going to open it. Or maybe it depends, like who is it? But like there it's like random strangers. No, come over. Come over. Let me give you my necklace. Let me give you some food. Like it's crazy. That's so different. Elle.
Yes.
How did your experience in Mexico, like short-term missions, like Door of Faith is the organization you went to often?
Mm-hmm.
How did that light you up? How did that create who you are now,
basically? I mean, I feel like God used like one or two experiences in Mexico to fully just recreate and reshape what my life was going to look like for the last probably 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. I started serving at Door of Faith Orphanage. It is in like my junior year of high school, I think it was. And what started as just kind of like a youth group trip with friends turned into, wow, like I don't think I can imagine my life without this. And I had one moment in particular with a little girl. I think she was probably like 5 or 6. And we had really bonded the week that we were there. And it was already breaking my heart because I knew I was going to have to leave. And we had such a sweet moment in like their clothing and laundry area. She came up to me and it was our last night. And I don't know how she found me. Like, I really don't. We were there just washing clothes and no one else was there. And she came running in and she just gave me a big hug. And we just held each other for honestly, I think like 5 minutes. And I was just thinking in that moment, I like tear up a little bit now just thinking about it. Like, it's like, this is what I'm called to do. Like, I am called to be embracing other people and particularly these kids. And so then next year, I actually brought surfboards down to Mexico because for me, that's kind of like my love language. Like, let me teach you how to surf and just share this really joyful, awesome thing with you. And the government wouldn't let us do it. And so government. I was super bummed again, but I went home. And at this point, I was about to start college. And I was like fully surrendered, like, Lord, if you want to send me across the world, I will go. Open a door. Like, I dare you kind of thing. Like, I will do it. And no doors opened. Nothing. I didn't hear anything. But I did end up receiving a little bit of a vision that had to do with surfing and giving back and sharing the joy of surfing in the ocean with kids. And at the time, and who knows, maybe down the line we'll see. At the time, it was a vision for going out of states and starting in Mexico and seeing where I ended up. But as the years went by, I realized the Lord was saying, hey, like, there's a need here in your own town, in your own home. Like, all of this is really great going across the world. That's awesome. But I don't have you there. Like, I'm not calling you to that right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And so I prayed about it. I prayed about it for 5 years and waited for the Lord to kind of connect the dots. And eventually he did. Someone came up to me, a friend of mine, who didn't even know all this was going on. He goes, hey, have you ever thought about volunteering and working with foster kids? And I was like, actually, no, but I think you just answered my prayers. And so from there, I realized, okay, like, I'm going to start a nonprofit here in Ventura, and I'm going to serve the kids here that don't have families. They don't have homes. They don't feel loved. They don't feel special. And I'm going to show them that through surfing and God's
That's
love.
So good.
It's been incredible. It's been a journey for sure. But it was pretty eye opening for me, because I think I had this idea after going to Mexico of, wow, I'm going to go out and do these really big things across the world. And the reality is there's big things to do here. Amen. In your own hometown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's true wherever you are, wherever you live. But kind of like what you're saying, Seth, like there are different callings for different people in different places. And God has it so perfectly worked out. All we have to do is say yes to that. And then that's where you make the biggest impact.
Yeah.
So good.
So do you feel like that dream of going internationally, did you just have to shelve it, or do you think that this is where you're called here?
It's shelved, yeah. For sure. I think,
yeah, because like you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we're only 2 years into officially being a nonprofit, so there's no telling where the Lord will take us. Definitely have big dreams and big goals, but I do have a passion for travel and for helping people everywhere I go. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm excited eventually.
Who knows? You might be taking the foster kids.
I know, right?
Abroad.
That's what I thought. Let's go to Mexico.
There it is.
So.
Sri Lanka.
Yeah, and I've gotten to.
We got the connections.
Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seriously. There's some good connections in here. But I've gotten to volunteer with your organization. It's so legit.
Thank you. The
kids are so loved. All the staff, they're all incredible and just full of love. But I can't say enough good things about it. So it's a. Definitely.
So this is a sign to anyone hearing that's like, I have a heart for kids and I surf or don't surf.
If you just love the water and you want to love on kids, come on down. There's a place. There's always room to serve.
That's so good.
Volunteer and we love it. It's just a good time. It's a great time.
I'm still trying to go.
Kids transform.
I want to go.
October 22nd.
They're just rough. They're hard. I feel like there are days I'm like working. No excuses.
Totally. Just quit your job.
Just quit. Yeah. Done that before. So how did you guys transition back to the States, and how was that? This is probably, we need like a part two because it's so deep. Like, I know for myself, transitioning back was really tough, and I talked about it before, but it spent a long time just like feeling and going to therapy, and yeah, the financial side of things I was sharing before we started, but like that was hard for me, like transitioning from getting support to like, oh, you know what? Actually, God is providing for you with you having a job. Wow. That's a concept. Like he's going to provide for me. I don't need a job. Like, no, you do. We should probably work. And I was so stubborn. Like, I want to do only what I want to do. Like God who has this for me, and I'm only gonna do this, and he's gonna bless it. And it was like, no, you're gonna take care of a lady with dementia. No, you're gonna work at manage a juice bar. Like, you're gonna do things that are different for you. And isn't it crazy? But like, he still is transforming my mind on finances coming from the mission field and loving my community here, that it looks so much more, there's so much more details than just going abroad. It could be in business, it could be in art, it can be in anything. So, like, how did you guys transition back? Are you still transitioning? Is it still rough? Is it a tender subject? Who wants rock, paper, scissors?
I can start.
All right, go for it.
Anthony's going for it.
Yeah. This is super tough to talk about, for sure.
It's okay.
Yeah, I found that it was much more difficult to transition from a third world country to a first world country mm-hmm. than it was to go from my first world country to a third world country. Just the lifestyle of living and what you do and just the things that are important, things you worry about. I know when I left Sri Lanka, I had every one of my possessions in 2 check-ins, a backpack and a carry-on, and that was all that I needed. And I was so content. And something that I'm still like processing and working through is just, to be honest, there is, I think, a sense of a little sense of like bitterness towards the organization I was with, because you serve, you're a full-time volunteer, you give everything to this, this organization or the cause for 7+ years. And not once did they really sit me down and say, hey, you know what, this might not be for forever for you. You know, you might not be in Sri Lanka and, you know, missions abroad for your whole life. And, but we want to prepare you for what life would be like in the like real world. And so there was no conversation of, hey, maybe you should start saving some money for when you do step out of missions or when you do move on to the next thing in life. You know, never talked about, you know, building credit or anything like that. Cause you're so, I don't want to say blinded, but you're just so, have this tunnel vision of what the goal is and the mission is of what you're doing. And when you step out of that, it's kind of like, all right, thanks. Or not even thanks. Yeah. Just like have a safe flight back. And yeah, that's it. And you jump on a plane and you fly to wherever you're going. And then that's it. And you're dropped there and you don't have savings. You don't have an awful credit if you have any. And you just got to figure it out.
This is so hard to hear. It's so true.
There was something that I'm kind of like still processing, very passionate about, is like, because I still have friends in similar situations, and I'm like, how do I just have that conversation with them? Like, hey, man, I don't want you to go through what I went through, because it was extremely difficult. And if you don't have to do it, then I can share some of my knowledge and info on that, then I would love to, because that was so hard. I mean, it was tough to feel like you're just constantly striving, always looking like, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to just get on my feet?
Exactly.
Really, because I went from one lifestyle to the next.
And people I found don't really understand. Like, even your family, they try, but they cannot understand. And you just, I felt, we prayed about this before, like, constantly behind. I'm just behind. I can't catch up. Even I'm like, why can't I catch up? Like, everyone feels so ahead. And it's like, that's not necessarily where I need to be. I don't need to be where they all are. But like, you just, exactly. Like, you're learned as a missionary to like give everything. And you're really good at giving everything. And you're like, I don't need anything. And now all of a sudden, I don't have anything. Like, I've been given everything. Even your emotions, your everything in you is like drained often. Like,
yeah, I don't know if Elle or Seth, you experienced it, but when I came back, it wasn't like I went from fully being in Sri Lanka and then fully being into the States. Mm-hmm. I was like half in Sri Lanka, half in the States, and it really affected a lot of my relationships, because I couldn't really just focus on being where I was at. And I was constantly like head in the clouds, thinking ahead, like, even though I know that God called me away from Sri Lanka and that my full-time season in Sri Lanka was like done. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to like lay that down, because so much of me just wanted to be there, even though he had amazing and like better things for me in the States, a wife and a family and all these amazing things. It was extremely hard for me to disconnect and to say, okay, I need to just lay down this full-time thing of Sri Lanka and be present so that I can be like who I need to be for like my wife and my family and to be a provider and whatever else I needed to be, because I was so torn. And it's only like till recently that I've honestly, like 3-4 years later, that I'm finally like, okay, Sri Lanka is not where I'm meant to be full time, but I know that God's going to open those doors for me to go back.
That's good.
So, you know, I'm going back for the first time in 3.5 years in May since awesome. Before COVID. And so that's like the kids that are my friends that I still talk to, like, that's now so they're good. Like teenagers, and they're taller and bigger than I am. Yep.
Okay, I went back last 2 weeks ago, or think, for the first time in 9 years, back to Mexico.
Did you see anyone?
And I did. They're all grown up, and like that was a huge thing. But I feel like writing, I don't know if you guys write, but like some kind of art form to express is really helpful. Like, it felt like a phantom limb to me. Like, it felt like that part of you is missing, but you still feel it, and it's like, how to feel it correctly, like not correctly, but feel it still, but like it's not there anymore and you're missing a part of you, but you're here, like processing it all through art or export or something, just to feel that and process it, because it's rough. I so resonate. Seth, what about you?
So my transition back to the States was a little different, because in Mexico I was broke. Like, I didn't have any money, no support. I was, like, trading English lessons for cans of beans.
Totally.
And, like, with taquerias, like, little corner taco places, you know, I'd give them English lessons, and then I could eat there whenever. And I wasn't the healthiest eater there. But anyway, and then coming back to the States, it was more on the – I just remember walking across the border, and it was all these people out, and – You see everybody, and like you were saying earlier about just, you know, people welcoming you into their house and all of that. and then going to the States, and it was like there was no one on the street. There was everybody's like got the door closed, their garage door closed.
Unless they're running or doing some sport, it's like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're in the suburbs, though, it's. I mean, yeah, it's just. Yeah, you get in your driveway, you go, you push the button, the door opens, and then you push the button again, the door closes, and like you barely ever see your neighbors, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably the biggest like reverse culture shock that I had. But then it wasn't too long before, you know, I was off, you know, going back to Mexico or going to Israel or to Nepal. So just constantly still going abroad. And that's where my heart, I would say the biggest struggle coming back is it's probably on a weekly basis. I'm having that conversation with God where I'm like, all right, God, I know you got me here, but I know that you've got international missions in my heart. So what does that look like? I'm like fully in the workplace right now. I'm still doing ministry. You know, I'm still mentoring youth, but I've got this, you know, all these dreams in my heart that I feel like David, you know, he's been anointed for that thing. Oh. But it's all these years of, you know, just being faithful and little, doing the thing that God's called you to do. And that's kind of where I'm at. That's the tension, like, or you're saying you've shelved it kind of thing for now. It's like on the back burner. You're like, God, I know this is in my heart, but it's like, when? That's probably the biggest thing. But yeah, the whole, I don't know, coming back to the States and I guess the financial side, all of that, like, there's been trips that I've done. Like I didn't even have any money with me for like 7 months when I was traveling all the way to Israel and all the way back. Like, and that was just testimony of God's like provision. And so that side of things, like I'm like, I know God can take care of it.
Right?
Like, and I was totally faithless during that whole trip over and over again. I was like, I don't even believe God's
totally
real anymore.
To
and then like God comes through again and like puts the right people in the path and all of that. So anyway, it's just, I would say it's more of a, I've got all this heart for, you know, for the kingdom in this way, this way, this way. And the Lord's just like, I got you here right now. Keep doing this thing.
That's
keep
so
doing
rough.
This thing. Be faithful in it.
Yeah.
Be faithful in it. So.
That's good. Yeah. You're just still going back and forth. And like, I feel that for you. I feel like, I don't know. Actually, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to prophesy something. But I feel like you're going to go back. I feel like that's just your spirit, like who you are, you and your family. Like you guys are so ready to go.
Yeah.
So easy. But also you're here and you're plant deep.
Yeah.
Like you're here.
Yeah. And it's both and too. Mm-hmm. It's like the international, like, I mean, United States is on the map, on an international map, right? It's here too.
That's good.
And so it's not like it stops. And like what you do here is going to be the same thing you do there.
Totally.
Like if your heart's not in being faithful in the little and in stewarding those relationships and in pouring out into the community, like you're not going to do it when you get abroad. I've seen so many international missionaries, you know, international missions organizations, their heart's not in the right place. They're funneling the money like crazy and terribly, or they're, you know, they're just there and they're taking their Instagram shots and they're like, oh yeah, I'm hanging out with these kids. And then they're like, it's like the 30 minutes per day thing, and then for the rest of the week it's just, you know, they're on Instagram or they're, you know, and like there's some really good hearts in it, but it's in the application of that love from the Father, and that's where it's at. So anyway, cool. it's
yeah,
a different thing.
That's very interesting. I haven't seen that. I never saw that when I was there, but that's like, I could see that.
Way too many more mission organizations in like so many different countries that some of them are amazing.
I didn't have an organization the whole time I was in Mexico. It was like, should I not? I didn't have schooling.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
In Mexico, I didn't either.
But it's crazy how God transitions us. Like, he lights other things on fire in us. Like, oh, I have a passion for this. Like, for so long, I thought for me, it was just going to be the deaf. And now when I was in Mexico, he lit me up for like a prayer room. And like, and that didn't happen in Mexico. I thought it was going to happen in Mexico. And he brought me here. And I'm like, still stirring. It's shelved right now. It's on the shelf, but it's like a prayer room, something healing for business. Like, I have a huge heart for like business people and arts and like seeing people healthy. You were talking about there's no transition for missionaries. I like want to see missionaries healthy. Also, that might be something. I'm just gonna say maybe before I thought about that, but like it sounds like something's on that. But like something to pour into politicians and business leaders and musicians and like farmers and anybody, like, or yeah, I don't know, when you come back to the States, things just open up, like God starts lighting you up like with dreams and like how to help people be healthy is what came out of it for me from this whole experience in Mexico. Is like, I just want to see people healthy, like whole and free, and I don't know, but it's cool how like it transitions. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I need to use my hands, like sign language, like I'm burning without it. That sounds weird, not burning, but like I'm burning for it, I guess, and I'm not using it, but he's using other things. Like, so what is something, just to finish it, wrap it up, like what's something in you guys that is like a new passion that you didn't realize, I guess, here? What's something, is there something that you're like, while I'm here, this is what's been going on, or like something that you're dreaming about here? Or I don't know, do anyone have anything like that? You have something that lit up from your experiences.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of living it.
Yeah.
And I think that my eyes get opened more and more every single day, every time we have a surf event, because like, you know, just because people tell you the stories of these kids and like what they go through, but it's different when you see it on their faces. It's different when they show up and they're so shut down and so reserved, and then they spend 30 minutes in the water with an instructor. I know Seth was out there pouring out God's love on kids, and it changes them. Like, within 30 minutes, they're laughing and joking and smiling and just being a kid.
Yeah.
And so I think that that has ignited even more of a spark, even more of a passion in my heart to be like, okay, yeah, this is the call, this is the mission, and cool. I'm gonna keep running at it and pursuing it. So I'm super thankful for that, and like crazy to think that whatever, however long ago it was, ago 5, 6, 7 years ago, that it all started from being in an orphanage in Mexico.
Yeah, I love it. Is there anything you're dreaming about right now, or like besides going back somewhere?
Yeah, Lord's kind of put this fire in me about real estate. And whoa, so I've just been, the last, I don't know what it's been, maybe 7 years, just it's been my thing. And so, I mean, I work in apartment sales, and I'm starting to team up with some people to buy apartment buildings, and using that to fund missions. And
that's
so
it's
just like hand in hand to get these kids that have the biggest needs and need spiritual mothers and fathers, and getting those kids taken care of, orphans and widows. That's the you know, James 1:27. That's the thing on my heart.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Boom. That's really rad.
Yeah. I don't really feel like God's like sparked something in me yet. I think this is like a season where it was such a long time in full-time missions, where
the
it was like
thing.
give all day, every day, 24 hours a day. And so it really does take a toll on you, I found. I think when you're in it, it's like you don't see, because you have that tunnel vision, and you just serve, and you kind of don't even worry about your own mental or physical or spiritual health. So I think this is just a season of making like Ventura home and just
being poured into, perhaps.
Yeah. Trying to support my family and those things that I know I'm passionate about, like the community, within the community. I know that those things are still there because I felt them in certain circumstances, but I know that it just wasn't the time to step back into it. But I think I'm nearing a time where it would be like disobedient to not step into those things, even if I'm not like feel like I'm ready. But just having that faith and trust.
Mm-hmm. So. That's so good.
And there's so much to be said for like that family time, like the Lord just clearing your plate and just having. I know you've got a young one at home, and so it's so good to be able to have that time.
Yeah, I feel like it transitioning back, like loving yourself. The Bible says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." So if you can't love yourself, if you're not loving yourself well, taking care of your health, your mental health, emotional, physical, how are you gonna love your community well?
If you're not believing the things that God's speaking,
if you're
over
not believing, exactly,
you know,
like, how are we supposed to love other people if like we're only giving? It's like this mentality, like I have to just, like, I remember, this is so silly, I'm just gonna close with this story. No, like I remember my mom and grandpa came to Mexico, and they were so irritated that I didn't have a toilet seat cover. Like, the toilet seat. Like, I didn't have one of those, the thing you sit on. Because there, you don't have it. You just have the bowl, and you literally, it's a clean bowl. No one's as dirty there. And you sit on a bowl, and you go to the bathroom, and they were so irritated that I didn't have a proper mattress or a bowl, like a proper toilet seat. And I was like, don't tell me how to live my life. I'm trying to live how they live. Like, I'm doing the things that they're doing, and I don't need it. And I was so, it's just true. It's true. I didn't need it. And I had a horrible bed, horrible mattress. And they, like, bought me a new mattress, and I was mad. I was like, you're saying it's not good. Like, this is fine. I don't need any of that stuff, which is true. But now looking back, it's like, Mariah, just receive a toilet seat. Just receive a seat. Just take a good bed. Like, you could have used it. And I was so irritated. Like, stop trying to push your American views on my Mexican life right here. So mad. And but what was my point? I don't know. I see everything different now. Now I'm like, give me the seat. Just kidding. But it's just, I don't know what my point was with that. But
I think there's something you said, just like,
what are we talking about?
We're just talking about, like, serving.
Oh, there you go. And yes, thank you.
I know I'm not someone who's, I'm not, like, ashamed to say that for a long time I was serving out of, like, an empty cup.
Right.
I was just, like, physically serving people.
Okay, let's just pray over people that are listening and us too. Yeah, like, good. Jesus, those who are empty and are still giving out, like, fill them up. Let them see that they need to be filled to overflow. Overflowing doesn't come from an empty cup. So that they, I just pray that they and we can surrender and let you fill us up, because you're really good. You got lots and lots to give. Thank you for people that just keep giving, but help people to slow down and know when to just stop and be rest and be and fill up. And it's not selfish. It's actually quite healthy to pause. Thank you for missionaries and missions, and just, like, thank you for your heart for the nations. Mm-hmm. But I still have a heart to, like, pray over people that are transitioning back to the States and trying to figure out what to do with their lives and family and finances and everything. God, like, plug them in, give them place to be and rest. Yeah. And they don't have to do anything. They don't have to strive. They don't have to perform. That it's just to be with you. And yeah, I just ask for healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just anybody that's listening to this, I got to ask that you just, if you put that missions on their heart, as this is just about missions, got to ask that you just continue to just nudge them, even right now during this prayer, that you would just give them that little nudge, mm-hmm. that encouragement, that they are called, and that they would have that time with you, that alone time, and really be able to dig deep, and you'd be able to speak to them. You just draw them near and give them that vision for their life, Lord, that you just awaken it in people, and that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, what that thing is, or just that heart even, and just to get plugged in.
Yeah, thank you for local missions too. I just thank you for eyes being open to the place around us in Ventura, that we would see the avenue and see the whole city of Ventura, see the Hispanic community and Indian community and all different communities that we can reach and love on and learn from. Thank you for this place right on the avenue that we get to go eat tacos and sit at the feet of people and just talk with them and hear their stories. And yeah, thank you for making bridges and bridging gaps in the community. And thank you for healing us and healing people. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We need, like, a part B on this. This is so good. Thank you guys for being here. You guys are so vulnerable, and it was so great to hear from you all. And that's a wrap, guys. See you next time.